Again, be aware of the fact that there are various compartments or rooms that make up your soul. For example, we have a frame of reference, and the frame of reference is that which sets up our ability to take in future information. If you have a frame of reference with regard to anything in life, it sets up the ability for you to learn more in life. Without a frame of reference, of course, it's meaningless. There's no foundation. So everything is really built on a frame of reference. And if your frame of reference is wrong, then your conclusion will be wrong. That's the problem with a lot of theologies. What they try to do is they try to force the Word of God to say what they want to believe. And that's not the way you do it. Your doctrine, or that which you believe, should be the result of the Spirit of God teaching you from His Word. In other words, it's the Word that teaches you. You don't find a doctrine and try to fit as much Scripture into that doctrine to make it work. It reminds me, many years ago, I was watching a television program, and there was this dipsy female who was trying to work a puzzle, what do they call those? Jigsaw puzzle. No, jigsaw. And so because of the fact that she had pieces that wouldn't fit, she was using her emery board, and she was filing down the pieces so that they would fit. Well, see, that's the way a lot of theologies are born. Person says, I came up with an idea. Now let your ideas come from the Word, not try to find something in the Word to support your ideas. And when you do that, you'll find that strange things happen. You'll find that, for example, you might be holding a doctrine that is not biblical. There are many that are not. And just because Dr. Biggs said it doesn't mean anything. I can remember many years ago, they used to have I don't think it's there anymore, I know it isn't. It was an old grocery store that had shut down. It was called J.B. Bayless. Not A.J., J.B. was the originator. Later on, it became A.J. You know what I'm talking about? Listen carefully. I don't need your correction. And it looked like an old country store. It had wooden floors. Has anybody ever been there? You've been there, okay. Where was it? Okay, Indian School in Central. And I'm going back now to about 1959. And we used to go there every Sunday afternoon, and they would have people minister the Word. I ministered there as well. And this guy got up one particular Sunday afternoon and started to teach. And he taught, and he taught, and he taught. And when he got through, people would come to me and say, wasn't that a wonderful message? And I said, no. And they said, why? I said, because he just spoke and preached on a partial rapture position. He says, what's that? See? What's that? This one said. I said, well, they believe that only part of the church is going to be raptured. The rest will have to go through because of one reason or another. So, what? I don't believe that. Well, I said, that's what he just taught. Come to find out, he was a believer of the persuasion of a partial rapture position. And he said it very clearly, but they didn't get it. Why? Because they didn't have any doctrine in their stream of consciousness. Their frame of reference was void. So no information could be built upon it, or false information exposed. When you hear false doctrine, there should be something inside of you that says false, false, like a red light going on and off. Speaking of red lights going on and off, I have one that's called security in the Avalon. I don't have a clue as to what it does. But when I shut the door and lock it, this little light flashes inside. If anyone knows what that is, please see me. You say, well, that's an alarm. Oh, really? Where? Maybe it's part of a security system. They left the other part out. I don't know what it is. My wife and I have decided that we may read the book. Ah, you see? There's the Christian life. Now, I could go the rest of my life, as long as I own that vehicle, saying that I have a flashing light inside, and the part that flashes has the word security written on it. Do you ever know people that bought a new car and didn't know what half of the things did? You ever know people that had a VCR that's still flashing 12? You ever buy a computer and have to call an 11-year-old to find out how to use it? Secondly, we came up with memory center. Memory center is that place where you record, you store information. Thirdly, vocabulary storage. And we took this up. Your vocabulary must include words that convey. My wife this morning said, I turned the thing on. Really? What thing? It's much easier to use the word telephone. What she had done was turn the phone on in our bedroom in case it rang. It's not a thing. Well, it is a thing, but it has vocabulary connected with it. You cannot go through life with things and stuff. Doesn't convey anything. I don't know what your job is, but I bet it has some vocabulary attached to it that is technical nomenclature. You say, what is technical nomenclature? Anything that's worth anything in life has vocabulary connected with it. And so the Word of God. Fourthly, categorical storage. This is the one that seems to be lacking the most in churches. They hold to a position doctrinally, which may be accurate, but they have difficulty because it's not set up categorically. Matter of fact, we used to have an ad in the telephone book. And it would say Westside Bible Church, and then right under it said categorical. Got more calls on that. What do you mean by categorical? Well, it means that we teach in a categorical fashion. One category triggers another category. You don't really think, by the way, that God's Word is just made up of a bunch of different doctrines that are just thrown in there for us to try to figure out. They all fit together categorically. And once you begin to think categorically, well, you have difficulty with people who don't, because they have problems trying to communicate. If you ever use the phrase when you're talking to someone, now, where were you? That means you lost them somewhere along the line. I've had people that change their categories in the middle of a sentence. Well, you missed the change. Categorical storage is the classification of Bible doctrine according to its subject matter. Now, not only do you learn categorically English terms, but hopefully you've learned some Greek terms as well. The Greek terms, because of the fact that the New Testament was written in Greek. You say, well, I know very little Greek. Well, you know a little one anyway. And I try to, at least when possible, bring in the Greek term, especially, for example, one that's coming up here, the area of conscience, from the Greek word synodesis. Or if you prefer, if you've been a taper for any length of time, synodesis. What a disgrace. Synodesis is a breakup of concepts. And it governs your norms and standards in your life. Remember what Gary was talking about on Thursday night? The norms and standards by which people live their lives based on their upbringing? Thank God for salvation and thank God for Bible doctrine. Categorical storage then compares Scripture with Scripture. Biblical subjects emerge and are brought together into divisions of doctrine, formed for the purpose of classification and utilization. You see, you can't utilize something that doesn't seem to make any sense to you. Here's a good example of that. I remember years ago teaching on the doctrine of dispensations. And we had a woman who attended the classes. And afterwards she had the gall to say to me that she didn't think that God would have her to know anything about dispensations. That it wasn't needful for her and her life. Well, how do you interpret God's word without a dispensational approach? You can't. See, that's where this whole idea of Scripture contradicting itself comes from. There isn't a contradiction of Scripture. It's the contradiction of our thought with regard to Scripture. I bring this out as an illustration only to prove my point. There's a time coming in the future, during the millennium, when a child will be able to play with cobras. We also know about the lion and the lamb lying down together. Lion kind of fluffing up the lamb as a pillow. But no desire to eat it. In the meantime, don't try it. Lions love lamb chops. Animals will lose their ferocity in the millennial reign of Christ. The desert will bloom. Say, what's happening, isn't it? Look at the Phoenix metro area. It's blooming. Yeah. And we have to haul in water from every conceivable place. We haven't had rain for at least 5 years here. Somebody was telling me out front, oh, it was Phil, he said, nice spring. I said, spring? What happened to summer? Winter. I guess that one cold day we had was our winter. Can you imagine the poor trees? They're going to shock. Is it time? Oh, no. Is it time? Bud, unbud. Bud, unbud. My fig tree is the first sign of spring, at least in my backyard. Can't say the citruses because that's a kind of a carryover. And I'm looking at the ends and they're starting to get, well, rather puffy. So that means it won't be long before green will show. Now suppose we get our general March cold. That poor tree will go into shock. So will most of us, by the way. I personally believe that a lot of the stuff that's going around is because of the fact that we didn't have a winter. You know, cold has a tendency to destroy certain things that do bad things to our bodies. We could argue that point. Categorical storage is illustrated by the mechanics of the spiritual life, which includes the 10 problem-solving devices, which, by the way, don't forget, we are studying currently. That's what this study is all about. Building the necessary blocks of protection, the defenses of our soul. See, even Paul uses the analogy of the military. He says, what soldier goes into battle except one that is prepared? I enjoy watching the History Channel because a lot of times it covers things regarding World War II that even though I was a young man at the time, these were secrets that weren't brought out until recently. You know, the Nazis were amazing. They documented everything. I mean, everything. You know, the major sneezed, and they'd write that down. See. Of course, it got them into trouble, too, because they documented all the deaths of the Jews that they had slaughtered. They're just now seeing that they had super weapons that were coming up and they just never got to use them because the Allies overtook them. They had a submarine, for example, they were working on that was fantastic. They had jet aircraft long before we did. They understood rockets and rocketry. Matter of fact, a lot of the rockets that we sent up early in our space exploration was based on information received from German scientists that were taken from Germany shortly after World War II. Now, when I say space exploration, you understand I'm not necessarily for it. I'm just simply saying it exists. I think it's a waste of time, frankly. You can think what you want, but I'm the one standing up here talking right now. Does it really matter to you or to anyone else who is doctrinally oriented whether or not they're going to find some form of prehistoric life on Mars? Who gives a rat's fiddle? You say, well, rats don't play fiddles. That's my point. Can you imagine the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are spent every year with radio equipment that is pointed toward outer space waiting for a signal to return? Don't laugh. We paid for it. That's where our tax dollars go. At least when you're driving down the highway and you see your tax dollars at work, you can see the result. But when my tax dollars are going and sending signals to places unknown, and we've got people that man these things 24 hours a day, they're waiting. What was that? That was a rat's fiddle, that's what that was. And what would they do if they heard anything? Conceivably now, looking at it realistically, if we want to do that, we could receive a signal from a planet that has since burned up, and that it is so many millions of light years away that by the time we got the signal, that planet was gone. It's a big deal. Or whatever it is that's out there. They're still talking about the strange lights over Phoenix. You notice what it takes to get people distracted from the Word of God? Secondly, this is an established system for the function of the spiritual life designed for one thing. And that is in that one thing to have doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness. See, your stream of consciousness is what you are, how you react to a given situation. All you have to do is stimulate anything that's found there, and the result is based on what's flowing in your stream of consciousness. The ideal for the Christian way of life is the Word of God, so that your outlook in life is the Word. Of course, that's theoretical. You understand that, don't you? I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that 24 hours a day, the Word of God permeates my life, and I react in every given situation by some doctrinal answer. There's only two people here that do that, and I'm not one of them. Those two actually have learned how to lie also, by the way. Now, there are times in my life, as well as your life, where we question things. We don't question life or the principle of our eternal salvation, that's said and done. But other areas, if you've ever asked yourself the question, why me? You have doubts. And it's comforting to know that down the road we can have the answers to our existence. why we are here. What does God expect of us? Better yet, what does God expect of me? It's more personal, you see. See, this doctrine circulates through the filling of the Spirit from one compartment to another. They don't stand isolated from each other. They work together. Vocabulary storage and memory center work together. Frame of reference works with memory center. Categorical storage works with vocabulary storage. You see, vocabulary is the word, and the category is the system by which that word has been properly cataloged. I've used the illustration before, but I think it fits. No better one that I can think of. You go into a library, and you want a book on a particular subject. Generally speaking, they have it indexed at least three different ways. Fundamentally, you have fiction, nonfiction. Then you have a catalog by author. And then generally, this is the simple category, you have it by title. And if that doesn't help, they may even have, and I'm sure they do, subject matter. That's what all those little cards are in those little files, the ones you pass by and wander around the inside of the library. And then you expect the librarian to know where every book is found. So too with the Word of God. If I were to mention a particular categorical subject, verses should come out. That's the way you prove it. If I said justification by faith, beautiful verse, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Book of Romans. Salvation is not by works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Paul's letter to whom? Titus. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul's letter to Timothy. For we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Boy, are we peculiar. Now that means unique. And chosen does not mean what it appears to mean. See, there are vocabulary doctrinal terms and there's vocabulary natural terms. When I think of the word chosen, I think that someone has been picked. And therefore, because of that confusion, I add to my salvation that God picked me. He didn't. He made you an offer you couldn't refuse. The offer was believe in my son or end up in the lake of fire. You have a choice. And there we go back to that hellfire brimstone stuff. That's right. It's a part of the word, integral part of the word. And they that believed not were cast alive into the lake of fire. Revelation chapters 19 through 22. That whole section deals with the judgment of unbelievers. Why would you judge an unbeliever if you didn't plan on choosing them to begin with? See, there's logic to the Word of God. That, to me, is an illogical concept. The whole idea that God chose some to be saved and some not, that's illogical. And God is not an author of confusion. Don't you think one smart aleck would mouth off at the great white throne and say, well, I couldn't get saved anyway, so what's the big deal? Because you didn't choose me? Then the next question that comes up is, on what basis did he choose us? And so there's an overemphasis of what important doctrine that relates to the essence of God, sovereignty. But see, as we've studied already, the principles of the essence of God must work in harmony with each other. They cannot work in opposition. We saw sometime during the week, I believe it was on Tuesday night, how that righteousness and judgment, or justice, work together. The justice of God must condemn, because God is holy. But see, holiness is made up of two parts, justice and righteousness. And God, in imputing his righteousness to the believer, satisfies or propitiates his justice. You don't think he really looks at you and sees you as you are, do you? He sees you in his Son. And when he looks inside of your soul, he sees the righteousness which has been imputed to you. You can't get better than the righteousness of Christ. Now, if you could, I guess you could be saved. But we'll all admit we can't, right? Sure. Except that one person who is... We already got rid of one. God's intent is that doctrine be flowing and interchanging with every area of those compartments. And yet not all the compartments serve the same purpose, but they all work together. Vocabulary and categorical storage are absolutely essential for understanding the mechanics of the spiritual life. See, you can't understand the spiritual life without vocabulary and categorical storage. And as soon as you begin to learn more and more about the spiritual life, you then are confronted with more choices. In other words, what am I going to do with this? And if you afford yourself to that spiritual life, you're going to advance spiritually. And if you don't, you won't. That's simple enough. And it is a matter of choice. And that answers the question, why is it that some advance and some don't? Well, some advance because they want to, and some don't because they don't want to. I don't sit there and say, well, I can't understand those that don't want to. Well, I can. I don't agree with it, but I can. There are some people even within the confines of our families, whether they be immediate or otherwise, I have a half-brother and a half-sister, both of whom are unsaved, been witnessed to, but they choose not to. Categorical storage is also essential for handling accurately the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, previously quoted. See, that word, rightly dividing the word of truth, is accurately handling the word of truth. Is it important that we accurately handle God's word? Yes. And you better properly divide it. Not to the exclusion of the passage, but to its categorical reference. Where does it fit? A good example of that is when you came in this morning, I didn't see any people leading lambs. Now, we did have a meal offering out front, but you paid for that. Now, I don't see anything in the scripture that talks about a donut offering. But think of the Jews in their time. You say, well, that was in their time. Exactly. Well, that's a dispensational distinction. You'll notice there's nothing particularly behind me. Well, there is a wall, and behind that wall there's an air conditioning system. Nothing spiritual about that. Of course, in the summer, we really appreciate it. But you'll know this is no veil. There's no Holy of Holies. There's no Ark of the Covenant. There's no Shekinah glory. You say, well, yeah, I know why. Because the body of the believer has now become the temple of God. Well, you see, you've made a distinction. You're accurately handling the word of truth. Earlier references to the lion and the lamb, the child in the cobra's den. Young men dreaming dreams and prophesying. That's all going to be done accurately in the millennium. And yet we have people that try to apply and take scripture that don't belong to them and bring it into the church age, current period as such. Mark 16, the handling of snakes, poisonous snakes, and the drinking of poison shall not harm them. Millennium. Don't try it in the meantime. They bite. Of course, you see, you can get around that. Here's how you get around that. When a rattlesnake bites a worshiper that worships in the manner in which they do, the excuse is, well, he had sin in his life. So he died the sin unto death. How convenient. That's the same as saying that all illness is based on sin. Now, all illness is based on the sin nature. The very fact that the body falls apart is based on the fact that Adam sinned in the garden. See, if we'd been made after the similitude of Adam before the fall, we'd never die. Don't think about that too long. But we're not, you see. We are made in Adam after the fall, in his likeness. He picked up a sin nature, and from that point on, he began to age. Yeah, but look how long he lived. You really want to live that long? Be awful, wouldn't it? To live over 900 years? See all your loved ones go? your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. How many generations? 50? No, God says, I'm going to give you 70. That's 70, by the way. I only say that because someone asked me, what is 70? Why is it we always associate the first hymn that we sang with Abraham Lincoln? That hymn reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's the old timers that identify him as such. Some of the young ones are going, what? Abraham who? Categorical storage is essential in the interpretation of Scripture. Example, obviously, is dispensations. I have a book in my library written by John R. Rice, who is now with the Lord and knows better, that the doctrine of dispensations is straight from the pit of hell. Because he also believed that you received a second blessing. One of the backbones of Jawbones Bible College. Bob Jones. Salvation alone, salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. See, that's one we've had to add within the last few years. Not add it from the standpoint of believing it, we've always believed it, but to defend it. I never thought apologetically I'd have to get up here and defend salvation in faith in Christ plus nothing. It's not a very old doctrine, this faith plus dedication and faith plus lordship and faith plus, plus, plus. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, period. He did all the work. And see, when you fall into error, then you start adding things. Concept of logistical grace. You realize that you and I are here this morning because of God's logistical grace in our lives. Logistical grace includes shelter. I don't know anybody here who's homeless. You may not like the home you're in, but you're not homeless. I don't see anyone here suffering from emaciation. Unless you're anorexic. And that's self-inflicted. God supplied you food. Boy, has He taught me the worth of food. I appreciate, by the way, those of you that have gone almost to the ends of the earth to get certain seasonings for me, because it helps. It really does. And it's so nice to look on the jar or whatever it is you've given me, and it says zero sodium. Of course, it doesn't say anything about mounding it on whatever it is I'm eating, but that's okay. with zero sodium, I guess I can get by with that. Is cheating on your salt diet something you must confess? Logistical grace support includes clothing. Yeah. You're all dressed. So I don't have much of variety. Well, that's too bad. But you have clothes on. Thank God for that. See, women have to learn, by the way, that nudeness is not what turns a man on. It's what his imagination is able to do with what he can't see. You get that down in your notes? That's a part of logistical grace. Transportation. We've had people that came to Bible class on a bicycle. Logistical grace. Some of you may have a new Cadillac. Logistical grace. Some of you may have an older Cadillac, logistical grace. The old Cadillac may be worth more than the new Cadillac, logistical grace, plus. I drove my 70 Cadillac convertible for over 20 years and got more for it than when it was new. See, where is it now? It's in Germany. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation. And the most important thing that God supplies for us logistically is a place to learn doctrine. That's logistical grace. See, logistics is that field of the military where you're involved in movements of the troops. And everything has to be supplied for them. Otherwise, they're like a chicken with their heads cut off. They have no purpose. They have no definition. They have no ultimate goals. So you have the high command who make the decisions. And unfortunately, or fortunately, you have the lower ranks that are always questioning the commands of the higher echelon. That's the way it's got to be. For example, Patton understood the concept that he was going to lose X amount of troops when he went against the enemy. You can't be a good leader and say, for example, I don't want to lose anyone. You just can't. You know that victory is based on the loss of some lives. And what your hopes and desires are is that when it's all said and done, that you have more standing than they did and that you've won the battle. That's why I've often liked chess. I said I often liked because I haven't played chess in probably 15 years. We had a young man here who was his high school's representative to the state as a chess champion. I beat him in four moves. Boy, was he ticked. He also showed me how much he could lift. I lifted it with one hand. Guy didn't talk to me for 6 months. Now that was about 25 years ago, so relax. I'm not going to go around throwing weights around at my age. My greatest weight now is just carrying me from room to room. Logistical grace support. Excuse me, it's there for all of us. And by the way, you'll notice that God supplies logistical grace to every believer, regardless of whether or not they're advancing. You notice that the believer that's negative to the word is supplied with food, shelter, clothing, and so on. Why? Because the second part of the word logistical is grace. So it's undeserved. It's unearned. God does it. And not because of who and what we are, but because of who and what he is. See, once you begin to learn that, you begin to learn the basics of the Christian life. Christian life is not what you do for God, but what you allow God to do through you. We've forgotten that. We see a lot of activity and we say, oh, look at the wonderful things that so-and-so is doing for God. As if God really cares. Or for that matter, even needs us. That's demeaning, isn't it? He doesn't need any of us. Doesn't he need you, doesn't need me, but he's pleased to work through us. We become his agents, his ambassadors, if you please. What a privilege, what an honor. And then on top of that, we not only have dispensations and salvation by faith alone and Christ alone, logistical support or logistical grace, but the metabolization of doctrine. See, when you eat physically, that food after it has been properly masticated, chewed, it's then swallowed. And there's a process that goes on in normal people where it all works out wonderfully. And that food is absorbed into the various needs of the body. The part it doesn't need, it simply extracts. That process is called metabolization. Food is metabolized. And it gives you added physical abilities. If you didn't eat, you run out of fuel. So it is. And even what you eat is important. I'm beginning to learn what you don't eat is important as well. But you don't have to live with that. I do. Doctrine must be metabolized in your soul. And once it is, you begin to grow. You get strong spiritually. See, God never intended that we remain infants all our lives. He intended that we grow in grace. He wants to bless us. And if you were to write down on a sheet of paper, yes or no, do you want God to bless you? I don't know anyone here would say, nah, it's not for me. Now, often what we call blessing is not blessing at all, but simply the logistical support. Blessing is far beyond that. It's exceptional. But it's reserved, and reserved only for mature believers. Why? Because with that blessing, there's capacity. And without the capacity, there can be no blessing. See, God knows what's best for all of us, as parents know about their children. You know, our children would be probably satisfied to have chocolate cake 3 days, or rather 3 meals a day with a glass of milk. And that quite doesn't cut it for a balanced diet. Others take about 94 and a half different vitamins. The half is the one they're not sure of. Be careful, you ought to find out how those work together. Sometimes they fight each other. Just because it's herbal, that doesn't make it non-toxic. How do you think early poisons were made? They took certain herbs, mixed them together as a tea. Of course, a sure shot was hemlock. That'd do it to you every time. My understanding of hemlock poisoning is excruciating pain connected with it as well. That's the way they used to afflict capital punishment in medieval days. They'd have them drink hemlock. Wormwood is another. The very name itself should indicate that. Very bitter. And yet people in Europe have acquired a taste for it. Absinthe. Eventually they become absent from the absinthe. They drink it like some of you do here in this country, as a liquor, as a whatever. It'll kill you. So you want doctrine properly metabolized, and only the Spirit of God can do that. But He knows exactly what compartment to put it in. In a lot of respects, it's like a computer. Because you have, for example, in the old DOS system, you had categories and subcategories. For example, if you had a word processor in your computer, it was under a particular name, like WordPerfect or one of those. And you would expect that when you went into WordPerfect that you were in a word processor. That's the idea. You wouldn't expect, for example, to crunch numbers in a word processor, although I understand you probably can now. I'm going back to when computers were running at a speedy 4.77 megahertz. I still have 3 of them. Anybody want an antique? I still have my original Zenith with monochrome screen with a switch in the back for CGA. You know, the color you couldn't see? Or you could see the colors, but you couldn't see the screen because of the blur. See, some of you don't realize how far you've gone. You know, you flip a switch and all of a sudden that thing starts to fire up at about 600 megahertz. You got super, super duper VGA with DVD and digital output. And there were those of us years ago that used to squint in front of a little picture tube. No wonder we are what we are. We're the result of that business. But everything in its own department, that's the idea. But they all work together. And that's the purpose of having doctrine in your stream of consciousness. Our Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the information that we've again learned this morning. We thank Thee that Thy plan is perfect and can only be instituted by a perfect person, namely the Holy Spirit. We know that in and out of ourselves, we cannot do the Christian way of life, but He can. He's the author of it. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.